If you have a Bible, I hope you do. Just stand with me, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Thank you, worship team, ministry, lead worshipers, for preparing our hearts to hear the Word of God. Thank you for proclaiming the Word of God through song. I pray that we are sweetly broken today. We're going to start in verse 16. If anyone is inclined to be contentious, we have no such practice, nor do the churches of God. But in the following instructions, I do not commend you, because when you come together, it's not for the better, but for the worse. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you. And I believe it in part. For there must be factions among you in order that those who are genuine among you may be recognized. When you come together, it's not the Lord's Supper that you eat. For in eating, each one goes ahead with his own meal. One goes hungry, another gets drunk.
What?
Do you not have houses to eat or drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I commend you in this? No, I will not. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, also he took the cup, and after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not be condemned along with the world. So then, my what? Brothers, when you come together, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, so that when you come together, it will not be for judgment. About the other things, I will give directions when I come. Let's pray. God bless the reading and the hearing of your word. Thank you for inspiring Paul so many years ago to write this letter to the church at Corinth. Thank you for all eternity we'll have these words. Thank you that they are the precious and wonderful words of life that we can gather around and we can read and make much of, because, Lord, we gather around your word, and the thing that we all have in common, all us different people from different backgrounds, from different socioeconomic places, born in different places, God, the thing we have in common is Jesus and his word. And Lord, your word tells us in John 1 that Jesus is the word. So we just have Jesus in common this morning. You're the word. You're the revelation of God to us so that we can understand God. So Lord, would you expand our understanding? Lord, now may the words of my mouth, God, may the meditations of my heart, God, may they be pleasing to you. God, you are my rock and my Redeemer. We pray these things in the mighty and matchless name of Jesus. Amen. Go ahead and have a seat if you would.
So
when Jesus says, do this, what do you think we ought to do? Do this. Yeah. There aren't many times in Scripture that Jesus said, do this. There just aren't. There's only about three from what we're able to read. I mean, he gave a lot of instructions throughout his life. But there are very few times when Jesus actually used the words, do this, and then we're supposed to do it. At the Last Supper with his disciples, in his soon departure, he told them to do this. So my wife and I, today after the service, our van is already loaded. My car is already loaded. We are going to get into our vehicles, and we're going to drive to a campsite, and we are going to camp for the next 3 days, so please pray, all right? Please pray. But last past weekend was a busy weekend for me and for a couple of us and our family and for my wife as well, and so I was away in Richmond preaching at a retreat with some students, and then had a time yesterday with our men. By the way, what a wonderful time together yesterday morning with our men, and especially really good steak and eggs by Zach Young. Zach Young cooked every egg for us yesterday, I think, and he used it without a skillet. He actually used, you know, those like aluminum trays? We had forgot to bring something to cook the eggs with, so that joker cooked all the eggs on the aluminum tray, moving it back and forth on top of a griddle. I think that's worth a hallelujah. Yeah. So anyway, I'm just impressed by that. So we were on our way home last night. I was on my way home with two of my boys, and it was late. It was about 9:30, 9:40, and we're driving back to where we're staying right now, and I get this phone call from my wife, and she said this, honey, don't forget to put the sleeping bags in your car when you get home. So that means you got to unload your car, and that means you got to take the sleeping bags and put them in your car. And if some of you have a face like, oh, you forgot, didn't you? No, I remembered. Yeah, I remembered. But she called me in that moment to say, do this. Because we were in a transition point to do something else. When Jesus says, do this, it's really important. So in verse 24, go back. Jesus told them something to do in remembrance of Jesus. So he says, do this in remembrance of me. What does he mean by remembrance of me? In remembrance of my birth. In remembrance of my death. In remembrance of my resurrection. In remembrance of my ascension into heaven, and then listen to this, in remembrance of the way I'm coming back for you. Do this in remembrance of me. But what did he really say do? Look at the first sentence. He said, do this in remembrance of me. But what's the sentence preceding do this? This is my body, which is broken for you. Huh? Like my wife yesterday asked me to get the sleeping bags, like check, got it, you know. But Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. This is my body, which is broken for you. And yeah, I know he took the bread and he broke it and he told them in a preceding couple sentences. But the sentence right before do this in remembrance of me is, this is my what? Body, which is what? Broken for you. So that moves us then to ask the question, what's the body? Right? Like if Jesus says do this, and we all agree this is really important, right? Like really important. If he says do this, I'm about to leave you, which they still didn't understand. We'll talk about that right now. But if he says do this, it's really important, and then he says this is my body, then we probably ought to know what's the body, or better yet, who is the body? So there's two definitions to the body, okay? There's two definitions to the body, and the first one is simply this. It's Jesus. It's the physical person, Jesus Christ. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. First definition is Jesus. It's Jesus. And the physical body of Jesus, first thing, and it's a little crazy, but for right now, for our perspective, for them right then, they could do this, but you and I can't, okay? So
if that's being written to us now, he said that to his disciples, then Paul's recounting it. But even as Paul's recounting it in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, is Jesus present physically? No, he's not there. So here's the deal. The physical body of Jesus that I have to wait. Now, don't lose me when I say this, all right? That I have to wait to hug. That's your blank, all right? How many people have ever had blank in church that's a hug? Really, seriously, honestly. Like, when you're keeping notes in church, it's ever been hug. All right, so the physical body of Jesus that I have to wait to hug. Now, I get some of you men in the room right now are like, that ain't manly at all. I'm not a physical touch guy. Just not. Don't even like thinking about that, you know? But here's the deal. When you really love somebody, and you really love somebody, you hug them. You do. You run after them like this. So you're saying, was he talking about hugging in this fat? No, he was talking about loving in this passage. And I'm a physical touch kind of guy. I just am. If you want to bless me, just come put your arm around me, all right? And I'm good for like 10 years. You know, I mean, I'm good. I like words of affirmation, but I like a good hug. I mean, I just do. But the deal is this. The body of Christ, and I'm hanging out here for a reason, okay? The body of Christ is the physical body of Jesus that unfortunately right now you and I have to wait to embrace. We don't get to embrace the physical body of Jesus, but man, there's coming a day. There's going to be a day that we actually get. Paul, stand up, man. Stand up. There's a day that Paul, he's Jesus. Man, we get to walk up just like this. I'm going to go here so I don't mess the microphone. Do you know what this is going to be like? And there's time, like, for every one of us to do that with Christ. You're like, how's that possible? I have no earthly idea. But I do know that I'm going to get to embrace Jesus. And I also know that so will you. But that's just one definition. That's just one definition. The first definition is the physical body of Jesus that you and I unfortunately have to wait to hug. It's a deferred hug, but that was a representation of one right there. The second definition of the body of Christ is this. It's actually what I just did. The physical body of Jesus that I get to hug now. And that's the body of Christ. And you're looking at him. And I'm looking at him. So don't lose this. When Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me, the sentence before is, this is my body, which is what? Broken for you. So check this for just a moment, all right? Jesus Christ, in his glory, suffered and died for us so that we might have right relationship with him. Amen? Because of our sin, and hear me, if you're offended by that, good, you should be. Good, I'm offended by my sin. And when somebody told me I was a sinner, it offended my senses. But Jesus Christ looked past all that offense and hung and bled and died on a tree for you and me. And then 3 days later, he gloriously resurrected from the dead. And then a little while later, he ascended with God in heaven and he told us he's coming back. That's the physical body of Jesus. Church, that's salvation. You put your faith, hope, and trust in Christ and you will be saved. Praise the Lord. This is my body, which is broken for you. But here's the other definition of the body that we get to hug right now. It's broken too. But that body wasn't broken so that you might be saved. That body is broken so that others might see and hear and live. See, Jesus' brokenness was intentional to save us from our sin. This body's brokenness is so that we can be a glorious representation to a lost and dying world that there is hope for them in their mess. This is my body, which is broken for you. Two definitions of the body of Christ. The body of Christ that we will one day get to embrace physically. And then the other physical part of the body right now is all of you and all of me that we get to embrace right now. She is imperfect. The body of Christ here, hear me, is imperfect. But she is forgiven and she is redeemed. How awesome is God that he would actually redefine all of us knowing that we were broken and knowing that he would make us beautiful. You say, where are you getting this, Pastor? Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and look at this, verse 15. Because I don't want to be guilty of eisegesis. Exegesis is when you take God's word and you teach from God's word. Eisegesis is when you come up with an idea and you infuse it upon God's word. You follow me? Okay, when you read into something. I'm not doing eisegesis, I'm doing exegesis today. All right, so 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 15, he says, I speak as to what? Sensible people. All right, judge for yourselves what I say. The cup of blessing that we bless, look at this, is it not a, what's that word? Participation in the what? Blood of Christ. The bread that we break, is it not a what? Participation in the what? In the body of Christ. So because, look at this, because there is one bread, we who are what? Many are one body. For we all partake of one bread. Church, I submit to you, this is what's wrong with the church. We don't understand that we're the body of Christ. We don't get it. If we got it, this place would be full every week. We'd have 7 services every week. We'd have to start 20 churches a year because we all believe we're the body of Christ. Like the physical body of Christ. You understand? When you go to Walmart, you're the body of Christ. When you go to Burger King, you're the body of Christ. When you go to Chick-fil-A, you're the body of Christ. When you go to work, you are the body of Christ. When you get on a plane and you go to Montreal, you are the body of Christ to the 99.9% of the people there who don't understand the body of Christ. You are the physical representation of the body of Christ to a lost and dying world. Doesn't that change the way you feel? Doesn't that change the way you think? Doesn't that change the way you feel about one another? Doesn't it change the way you feel about your lost neighbor? Doesn't it change the way you feel about the guy that lives on the other side of the world that's never even heard the name of Jesus? Doesn't that change you? If it doesn't, there is something wrong. You have not met Jesus for real yet. So hear me today. There's hope for you. You can just repent. You repent of your sin. You say, God, I believe in you. I believe in you. So here's what's going on in Corinth at the time. They were not one body. They were a fractured body. The Corinthian church were getting together and they were celebrating the supper. And this was the scene when they gathered for their feast. Just track with me. There were various cliques within the church. People came and they just hung out with their own crowd instead of fellowshipping with the whole body. There was rampant selfishness. The rich people showed up with their 2017 camels. Okay, and they went, don't touch. Okay? The original idea for the meal was for sharing, but that idea had been lost. Some folks were showing up early and getting drunk before the meal. And it's possible that the love feast that they were actually experiencing, so they'd get together and they'd eat the supper, but they actually ate the supper after they ate food together. So it's possible that at that love feast, the poor people who were showing up, that was the only decent meal they got all week. So just think about this. They were being treated so scornfully and flippantly by the other well-to-do members that were not only injuring the stomachs of those who were poor, but also injuring their pride as brothers in Christ. Now, go here with me for a minute. I know you're like, hey, we don't do that here. Yeah, I get it. We don't eat every week. We don't. But every week we gather together with the church, and we have a love feast together when we sing songs to God. Every week we get together, and we have a love feast when we have life groups together. We do. We feast on fellowship, don't we? And how is it then that when we get together and we feast on fellowship, but we ignore people that we don't know who are standing there and who've come in the door, like we don't even care to ask them their name because we're more concerned with our camels? Does that make sense? We're more concerned with maybe even our own insecurities that we're not willing to be vulnerable and to go find somebody else. So here's what we're going to do next week, all right? Next week, this week, we're going to celebrate the supper. We're just going to do it in reverse order what they did. We're going to eat today. We're going to repent before we do. We're going to have an invitation. You're going to get a chance to repent. I'm going to repent because I'm already talking. I'm like, I got things I got to repent for too, all right? Then we're going to eat the supper together. And the next week, we're going to get together early, and we're not going to have this service in here at 9. We're going to go outside, and we're going to have a common meal together. And some of us are going to set up, like, you know, trucks and decorate them, which is great. It's fun. It's festive. It's a good time. It makes people laugh. Hey, that's cool. Yeah. And I'm not saying we don't talk to people that we know. We do. But look, next week, you're going to find like 15 people you don't know. And we're going to have a common table down the middle. And we're all going to share. And we're going to find as many people as we don't know. And we say, man, I'm so glad you're here. I love you. I don't even know you, and I love you. Do you know why I love Jesus? Because somebody who didn't know me loved me. I love Jesus because somebody who loved Jesus loved me. And that's how I learned the love of Jesus. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. This is just a cup and juice. But we do this every week in remembrance of him. We do this together when we open the Word of God and we feast on the Word of God. We do this in remembrance of him. Now, I'm not saying this isn't important, that we shouldn't stop and observe. We do. We do. We do this. And we should do this more often than what we do, just to be honest with you. And we will. And we are. So, Here's the deal. You can't say you love Jesus and deny fellowship and love to his body. No matter how messy that body gets, you can't reject one body without rejecting the other. So if you reject the physical representation of the body of Christ here, then you hear me loud and clear. The Bible teaches you're rejecting the body of Christ. So for these two bodies, just for a minute, Jesus saves you. He takes care of your sin, and as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And then the church refines you, all right? The body of Christ, they refine you as Jesus redeems you and makes you new. Jesus uses this church body to show places in our lives in need of transformation. He uses each of us in each other's lives to show us our need for transformation. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were like, I just don't want the church to know. I'm like, why? Why wouldn't you want the church to know? The church needs to know so that they can be transformed by your testimony and so that you can be transformed by the fact that they love you even though you're messed up. Whoa. Like, if I had time this morning, just go around the room, and I could just tell you from my own testimony, people in here who are sitting here right now who I have offended over the last 15 years who have forgiven me. And do you know why I love them even more now? Because they have. And I don't remember, they don't remember the offense anymore. They just love me. And that's the whole purpose of the body of Christ. So hear me, to reject Christ is to reject salvation, right? But to reject the church of Christ is to reject part of the body of Christ that actually has the means that Christ gave us to refine us and make us more like him. God put on flesh the first time and lived a perfect life and died a gruesome death and rose to life so that we might be saved. God put on flesh the second time and lives in an imperfect but redeemed, forgiven body called Parkway Baptist Church to show a lost world that there's hope even for the most messy people. So, you know, when Christ tells his disciples, do this at the Last Supper, you know, this really wasn't the first time they'd heard that. Paul, when he's reminding them of that in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it's really not the first time these people heard it. If they knew anything about the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they would have known that Jesus actually said this before in Mark chapter 12. It's actually just a recapitulation of the Shema in Deuteronomy chapter 6. All right, he said, love the Lord your God. He said, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength. Right, right, right? That's the first definition of the body of Christ. Love Jesus with all that you got. But then he said the second one is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. It's the same thing. That's the second definition of the body of Christ. He's not telling them anything new. He's just saying it in a different way so that they might understand. So here's point of repentance for us, okay? Here's the question for us. Are you loving the body of Christ? The Lord's table brings a healthy examination of faith often. All right? So here are the questions. Number one, have I been acting like a consumer or one who communes with the body, with God and his body, which is his church? Have I been acting like a consumer or one who communes with God and his body? Say, what do you mean by that? Jesus communed with all of his disciples, his close confidants, his followers, and listen, at that supper, he also communed with the one who would betray him. Jesus didn't ignore him. He didn't give him the long or short end of the stick. He actually was kind and compassionate and washed the feet of his betrayer. Let me just give you a little free nugget. This is going to come again in August, so you can just say amen louder when we get there, okay? When someone offends you, do you know how you move past the offense? You serve God by serving them. You want to get over the offense fast? You start serving them with all that you've got. You pour kindness over them. That's what Jesus did. And that's what we're supposed to do. Communing with God looks like this. It reminds us that we're not alone in communing with God. There's no just me and Jesus in the body of Christ. There's me and Jesus in whether I receive Christ or not. But once I receive Christ, man, you marry the whole family. That means you get all the crazy uncles and all the overprotective aunties. You get us all. There's Jesus and me and you 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 in the body of Christ. One of my favorite things about going to the Southern Baptist Convention is seeing all the crazy people. Knowing that I'm related to them too. Hallelujah. All right? And you may be saying, I don't know any crazy people. That means you're one of them. Okay? But here's the deal. You're part of the body too. So the crazy uncle who smells weird, you're part of the body of Christ. And if you don't know him, seriously, dude, you're it, okay? I mean, I'm just trying to help you out. All right. And then the overprotective aunt and the one who's constantly, like, you know, trying to pick your pimple in public, you know? She's part of the body too. Aren't you glad? I mean, seriously, aren't you glad? You get us all. That's what communing is like. So here's the second question, all right? When it comes to the overprotective aunts and the crazy uncles, have I been giving as much grace as I received? Have I been giving as much grace as I've received? The Lord's Supper prompts me to examine myself. It reminds us to thank God for his grace and salvation. It reminds us of our sin. It reminds us that we commune with Creator God because of his initiation through Jesus. It reminds us of the new covenant. It reminds us of the sacrifice and love of Jesus. It reminds us that Jesus communed with his people who were fractured and broken and beautiful. It reminds us to proclaim the gospel until he returns, and then we can no longer do so. And it reminds us to extend as much grace as we have received. Hallelujah, right? Third thing, have I given God the keys to inspect every room of my spiritual house? Have I given God the keys to inspect every room of my spiritual house? This supper reminds us to examine ourselves and ask God, the Psalm 139, you search me and try me, O God, see if there's any offensive way in me. Fourth question, am I willing to stand at the cross and the empty tomb of Jesus and tell God yes for anything he asks of me? Because here's what the communion does. Communion with God looks back at the cross of Christ. And then the communion also looks forward to the coming of Christ. So when we do this often, we should examine ourselves. And you've, over the last 2 weeks, remember the 4 weeks, 2 weeks ago, we looked at all the idols, right? So you've had some time. This shouldn't be a surprise, all right? So what we're going to do over the next few minutes, you guys come, worship team come, we're going to play, and we're just going to repent. I'm going to ask anybody on the pastoral support team, leadership team, you guys just come up front right now. Come on. Bring your wives with you if they'll come. And we're just going to line up the front. And here's what you need to do. You're going to have an opportunity to repent. If you need to walk forward and just pray with somebody, say, I need help. Like, would you pray with me over this? We're going to pray with you. And here's the deal. We're not judging you. We're not condemning you. We're saying we're all broken and beautiful. I wish I had time to walk through all these guys and tell you how messed up each one of them are. Okay? All right, they are crazy uncles and overprotective aunts too, all right? But we're broken and beautiful. I mean, we're broken and beautiful. And so you stand with us, I'm gonna pray, and we're gonna sing, and you repent. Just come say, God, man, I repent. I have these four questions were so hard today, God, and number three, that's where I'm at, God. Number four, that's where I'm at. Number two, God, whatever you wanna do, do it, Lord. If people need to come to Christ to get saved before we take this supper, praise you, Jesus, that'll happen. Lord, if people need to join this fellowship beforehand, praise you, Jesus, that'll happen. God, if we, whatever we need to do, God, I pray we do it, and we do it quickly. And we ask these things in the mighty and matchless name of Jesus. Amen. You come and pray as we sing.